I'm ready when you are.
I don't know what I'm laughing at, but I just chuckled. What's up? This is Movies on Up. God damn it. I don't know what I'm laughing at in my head, but something's very funny. I'm not in on the joke, though. What's up? This is Movies on Up. They broke every rule. I'm Dave, joined by my rule-breaking co-host, Ryan.
Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
And we are Movies on Up. Tagline for this week, they broke every rule. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter, @moviesonup. If you are right and we pick you, you will win the spooky Movies on Up prize package. This week, it's a continuation a couple days ago. Hopefully, you listened to our 28 Days
it's
Later.
It's Infected Week.
It's Infected Week, yeah. 28 Days Later episode was a couple days ago. We're doing the follow-up 28 Weeks Later. Discussion might be a little different than that episode. It's October, so we're to two episodes a week, mostly movies all through October. So thanks for checking us out and giving us a listen today for this episode. It is Juan Carlos Fresnadillo's 28 Weeks Later, written by Rowan Jaffe and Juan Carlos Fresnadillo. Not Danny Boyle, not Alex Garland, none of the cast from the original movie, which I'm fine with.
I like this cast, though.
This cast is phenomenal,
smokes.
Which we'll get to that. We talked about 28 Days Later, made for $8 million, not an American movie at all, very small British movie, released in the balls of summer and held its own. Made over $120 million combined, domestic and worldwide. This one, I'm going to guess the budget was a little bit bigger.
I'd have to actually Google it because it's not on Box Office Mojo. But I'll effort that.
It
was
almost
$15
million,
double. So it was almost twice the budget.
Was it twice the results?
No, actually it wasn't. When 28 Weeks Later opened in the box office, it was the week of May 11th, 2007. So in one respect, it did better. It debuted at number two, but it only made almost $10 million, so just a little bit less. It was well behind the number one movie, which was not Charlie's Angels, but there was another comic book superhero.
That was Iron Man week, wasn't it?
No, that was... This is pre-Iron Man, even. This is Spider-Man 3.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. The great Spider-Man 3. Made $58 million that week, so you know, just about $50 million more than the second place movie, which was 28 Weeks Later. It went on to make domestically $28 million.
Which is about 20 less.
Yeah, significantly less. Foreign, it made 35. So worldwide, it made 64, which is about $20 million less than the original. It's still profitable, however. Its total domestic haul of $28.6 million puts it at 2,459th place all time domestically. Dave, can you guess the movie directly below it in 2,460th place? It is considered by some, probably even by you, the greatest basketball movie ever.
Basketball?
No. By you, specifically.
Above the Rim?
No, it is Hoosiers.
Oh.
I thought you were a Hoosier.
When you grow up in Indiana,
yeah.
Every teacher that you grow up with, anytime
whenever they're hungover, you watch
anytime
Hoosiers.
At the end of the year that they have like a free day, you watch Hoosiers. So through my whole childhood, I saw this movie and I was never into it. When you're a Hoosier, I think you get
you're the one kid
on
from
Hoosiers.
Indiana that yeah. doesn't like this movie.
I wish they'd have showed basketball instead.
Yeah, I don't think basketball was around when you were in school. The movie directly above it, 2,458th place all time. It is a World War II movie, though you would not think of it that way.
Stuck on
or
you?
Maybe you would. No, it's Defiance, the Daniel Craig joint.
Oh, the Nazi movie, yeah.
Yeah, the Nazi movie. Just a couple places above this, one of your favorite sci-fi movies.
Sunshine?
No.
Moon?
No. I'll get to it if you let me give you a hint. 2456 all time. It involves a video game, not a real video
game.
Oh,
the Last Starfighter.
That is correct, the Last Starfighter.
I'm pointing at the sky. That's where yeah. stars go.
No, I know you. I knew you were getting there. I could see the wheels turning. It is, of course, the Last Starfighter. So that gives you around about an idea.
That movie.
I know you do. It's not bad. This is Lou Gossett, right?
Yeah, it's no Ender's Game.
No, it's not. In fairness, the source material for Ender's Game is a lot better than Last Starfighter. You probably like both of those movies, Ender included, more than you like this one.
You know what? The whole point of doing this episode is I was anti 28 Weeks Later. When it was announced, when it was coming out, I was anti.
Right.
28 Days Later, my favorite movie, does not need a sequel. I felt like doing 28 Weeks Later felt like a cash grab.
Does this feel like a sequel? In that it doesn't involve any of the characters. Pretty much the story from the first one is wrapped up. To me, this one seems like...
It's a continuation.
Sort of. It's a different...
It's the same world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's... I have no problem with that. The Final Destination franchise, my biggest complaint has always been that they've tried to link the movies together, whereas you could make a different...
But then you liked when they did that at the end.
At the one I did.
Yeah.
Out of five or six movies,
yeah.
I liked when the one came full circle. But I feel like those kind of movies you can make as many as you want. The Purge. I don't like that the third one is a continuation of the two because you can just keep giving different Purge stories.
Different things that could happen on that day.
This is the same kind of thing. I will give them credit that it's different because you could easily make another 28 Days Later or 28 Days Later 2 and just have different people
right.
in the same time frame. You
right.
can make the same movie again. I like that they tried to progress it. I like that they're in the process of rebuilding. I did like that approach to it.
I liked the beginning of the movie because what I said about the last one, I think it did so well, was kind of show the what if. So they showed to start, okay, this is how one group tried to survive the initial infection. And this is how another group tried to do it. And then after that, you see, okay, well, now the rest of it unfolds. What would it be like when a foreign government obviously comes in and sort of starts running things?
That's a thing. Like, The Dead was a great zombie movie from a few years ago. The Dead 2, same directors, completely different story, same world. So The Dead 2 is not related to The Dead, only that it's during a zombie outbreak. But it's the same rules, it's the same universe. I am for those sequels. Monsters, Dark Continent, completely separate from Monsters, just same universe.
Dawn of the Dead.
Yes, all those. I'm okay with that. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I am glad Franco's story was wrapped up. As much as I loved the first one, I didn't need more Franco in that one. Just like in the next one, I don't need Jason Clarke. So I like when stories do that, when they're a continuation and they're giving you over time.
And not to belabor the point, but do you consider Dawn of the Dead a sequel to Night of the Living Dead? I don't consider it a sequel.
I consider it a continuation.
Yeah, I mean, it's another movie.
Yeah.
It's another...
It's the same universe.
Kick-ass zombie movie by another kick-ass
like
zombie director.
Like that, Dawn, Night, and Day, they're not direct sequels to each other, but I think they're continuations because
yeah.
they're the same universe, they're
right.
the same world.
But to me, it doesn't feel like Rocky IV. You know?
Oh, no. No, I mean, look at your Bond movies that you love. Like,
yeah.
those are the same universe, essentially. They're not...
And most of those don't feel like sequels.
Golden Pussy isn't, like, a direct sequel to,
no.
to Silver Tits or whatever. Like, they're not direct sequels to each other. I mean, the Craig ones, I understand, kind of are.
Yes, they are.
But for the most part, you know, they're just the same world. So I do give them credit there. I give them credit for the cast. Robert Carlyle was awesome. I love Rose Byrne, Jeremy Renner, Harold Perrineau, Idris Elba, Imogen Poots. Although the kids, this is the first thing I ever saw Imogen Poots in. I swear the kids were cast by the biggest Harry Potter fan in the world because the kids are played by Imogen Poots and Macintosh Muggleton, who just sound like Harry Potter characters.
Yeah, I having never seen Harry Potter, I was like, were either of those folks in it? I mean,
they
I don't
sound
know.
Like Harry Potter.
But yeah, you're right. That when I saw that one kid's name, I was like, my God, that does seem like something J.K. Rowling would have written.
But like the cast is fantastic. And I mean, at the point, like I had liked Jeremy Renner from Senior Trip. I kind of knew him. Harold Perrineau, I didn't know a bunch. Rose Byrne. I think this was around when Damages was on.
For me, this was very early Rose Byrne.
It's early
like,
Rose
wow.
Byrne, but I did love Damages the whole time through, and I think this was a little bit after Sunshine. Like, I loved her in that. And Carlyle. I liked Robert Carlyle. Just the beginning of this movie is different. Like, we talked about 28 Days Later. Like, it's spam. I mean, it's the ultimate Jurassic Park tease. You're in there. You have maybe 6 minutes. It's happening. This one's not as quick. When it happens, but it kind of takes its time getting there. And you're spending time with these characters that I don't know if I'm supposed to care about. I feel like that could have been, I'm not saying rushed, but I feel like there was a lot in that first, up until the infected came, at the cottage, at the house.
Thank
you. Robert Carlyle and his wife.
I liked that sequence. I thought it was really well done. They set up all these characters, and you sort of get to see a little bit of personality from each of them. And in a sequence that really isn't that long in the grand scheme of things, every character does seem to have their own personality. And so you do sort of care about them. I mean, obviously, it does seem like right from the shoot, if you're a fan of horror movies, you're like, wait a minute. All these people are already together, and this is going to be the group that's together for the rest of the movie. That seems fishy.
Okay.
So your spider sense is going off. I mean, I like the way that you kind of see this is maybe the B team, whereas maybe Cillian Murphy is the A team. This is the B team in the same time period. This is just rather than seeking out help, they've just chosen to hunker down. And that's how this played out for this group. So I liked that. But then after we sort of get to 28 weeks later, you know, at that point, then I think the movie suffers from a real pacing problem.
Pacing problem and character problem. The first one, you focused on Jim and Celine and Brendan Gleeson and Hannah and then the soldiers. Even the soldiers had their own personalities, like Farrell and Jones. Like, they had their own personalities. So even as they're dying one by one, even though they're the bad guys, like, you kind of feel for them because they've been built up. They're not just red shirts that are there to up the body count. 28 weeks later does not build those characters.
There's a lot more deaths in it.
There's
fairness.
A lot more deaths, but I'm talking just of the main core. Like, I feel like Jeremy Renner, I thought Jeremy Renner did really, really good with what he was given, but what do we know about Jeremy Renner's character? There was nothing there. Like, for what he was given, we don't know anything about his character at all. It's almost like he was written as, he's a nice guy. That's what it is. He's a nice guy. He's fun. His friends love him. He's good at his job. But that's it.
The best scene he has is the scene where he's not being a nice guy, where he is just gunning down people in the street. Because you think, after seeing him, he's got his eye on the kids. He's doing his best from his sniper position to make sure that when the kids venture out to start with, that they don't get into too much trouble and somebody's able to kind of get them. But especially now, seeing, you know, for the whole Hawkeye thing, you know, you watch him on the roof and you think that, all right, he's going to have a conscience. He's a nice guy. That's how he's been written. There's no way he's just going to gun people down. But then he does for a while.
I don't think they played up with that confliction as much. And then when it's just like, oh, I'm going to leave my post, I don't feel like that was built up to enough. And even when they have a moment when him and Rose Byrne are, why'd you leave your post?
Why'd you leave yours?
He was in, well, later on when they're talking, so why did you leave your post? He was in my sights. That's it. Like, that's all you're going to give me? Like, we had such great character development and growth in the first one. That's all you're going to, oh, I saw this kid.
Well, in fairness, you had a group of characters to start the movie. Most of them died. So then you have the second group. I mean, basically the kids come in. You still have Robert Carlyle there. And then he sort of doesn't die and becomes infected. And then and when Jeremy Renner and Rose Byrne step in. So it does seem like, you know, maybe you're starting to get to know a character like Robert Carlyle. And then you lose him. And then you bring in two other ones. And by this time, the movie's halfway over. So you know you're not going to get a lot of development from them. And I think that that's a problem with the story.
But here's my problem is it's with the story and it's with the pacing, because there are moments that you could deliver something really good with these characters. Jeremy Renner being told to gun down humans, you could have done more with that. Rose Byrne doing what she can to get these kids out of there. Like, you could have done more with that. Her fighting Idris Elba that this woman could be the cure. There was moments that you could have done something with. And that's not lack of performance. I thought Byrne and Renner were really good with what they were given. Because they weren't bad performances.
No.
They're not bad characters by any means. They just could
They're
have been...
They're just underdeveloped. They're undercooked.
They could have been so much more in a sequel to a movie that they were well done. Like, they were not just cooked. They were well done.
I mean, the only character that I really think gets any kind of development is Robert Carlyle's. And I liked his character a lot.
But even that isn't played with that much. He just abandons his wife.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that he goes on and, you know, his kids are reunited with him and he tells them, yeah, I watched her die. And then she comes back. But then you don't do much with. He has one really good scene, but then you just progress that quickly and you don't get to do much with it. Like, the interactions with the kids about that could have been better.
Right, had they not turned him into the first infected.
Yeah, but even before that, I feel like they could have done so much more. And he's really good in that scene with her,
mm-hmm.
where he's trying to justify what he did to her. He's really, really good, but I just feel it just left me wanting more.
There again, it's having too many characters that you can't give. Sometimes when we have a movie that has an ensemble cast and we say it did a good job of, you know, giving all the characters, you know, their time to kind of shine. This movie didn't feel like that at all. You had a ton of characters who sometimes thought that you were going to get that, but then they moved on. The story moved on too quickly where we're done with this character now. This is the end.
That sums up Idris Elba perfectly. He just disappears.
Yep.
He makes the call, calls the code red.
Did you order the code red? You're goddamn right I did.
Then he's done. You know, he tries to cancel the apocalypse, and he's out the door. That's it. There's no closure for Idris Elba. Like, you have what this great actor that there's no conflict with him. It's just such an easy decision for him. Like, there's no toying on what to do. It's just straightforward. And that's it. You don't really utilize them.
And honestly,
I feel like this movie didn't deserve the cast that it got.
I don't disagree with you there. But I think I'm okay with the fact that it was such an easy decision for Elba. Because it seems like going in there, you would be completely naive if you thought there was no possibility of another infection.
And I get it.
I think they were, at least he was probably prepared.
Plus, it's not American soil.
Right. He was probably prepared to make that call. But that's the perfect kind of character to see, like, all right, I've made the decision, like, in the eyes of the viewer, I'm reviled because I'm saying, yeah, gun down kids. See him get it, you know what I mean? Like, get his comeuppance, but he doesn't.
No.
We don't know what happened.
No.
That's for just 28 years later, I guess.
Yeah. The random dude that escapes with them when they go off to the Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
He's just, that's a red shirt. He's an absolute red shirt. Like, nobody talks to him. You forget he's there for a moment.
You forget he's there, except for like when they want him to run out in the alley,
yes,
and the kid does it,
yes,
and then when he jumps on the helicopter.
Yes, yep. He's just there for those two moments. And
he's there to be a dick.
And I feel like you could have built that character up a little bit, at least give something about him.
He's like the Ty Burrell in the redo of Dawn of the
yes,
Dead.
Yes, which, and this kind of, we talk about 28 Days Later was such a small British movie that just kind of came over and did its thing. This isn't a small British movie. In the fact that British horror sensibility does build up. It's got lesser body count, but the deaths matter more. Brendan Gleeson is one of the few deaths of the good guys. It matters. Mark, when he dies, it matters. Because that's how British horror movies, British especially, build up the characters. American horror movies just kill for killing.
You know they're all going to die.
And that's what this felt like. This felt like we're just going to up the body count and not build the characters.
I still love that helicopter scene.
Oh, the helicopter. We'll get to that.
It's a lot of fun.
There are good things that I do want to get to. But this movie was very Americanized in the fact that you do add the U.S. military trying to bring that American appeal to it. Rose Byrne does a phenomenal American accent.
Yeah.
Even she's American. So, I mean, your main core of characters are American.
Idris Elba.
It's driven by the U.S. government, so it's not a small British movie anymore. This 28 Weeks Later is an American horror movie in every sense of the word, in sensibility, approach, everything. It's a total contrast. We'll get to the good stuff after I make this point. I'm going to compare, in this scenario, let's say 28 Days Later is Romero's Dawn of the Dead. It's this great horror movie that's a piece of art that says more than just, oh, zombies are coming. There's depth to it. There's characters. There's a lot of stuff there. And then 28 Weeks Later is the Dawn of the Dead remake. It's fun. It's a cool gore zombie movie, for lack of a better term. But everything that made the first one a classic is gone. It's a cash grab sequel. This is the Dawn of the Dead remake to 28 Days Later, essentially. And you took the same idea and you stripped it of its meaning, of its purpose, of its beauty, and you just threw extra stuff on top of it. And that's what this movie did. It's a cool movie. I don't hate it like I did. It's a throwaway horror movie to me, though. There's nothing about it outside of the cast. And some of the cool scenes, I do like the helicopter scene. The helicopter scene is great. The infected scene at the beginning, all the infected stuff, the infected in the subway, all of that, except for my biggest gripe that we'll get to.
Yeah, I know.
All of the infected stuff is done cool. The chaos in the street, the sniper scenes where they start off shooting the infected and then now it's just shoot everybody. I like all of that. It was done well, but it's cool. It's
not groundbreaking. And I think that this movie, especially the way they did it, they didn't have to call it 28 Weeks Later. It could have been like Crazy Zombie Folks. You don't need that association with the first movie because they set it up. It doesn't need the setup from the first movie at all.
Oh, it's a standalone. It's an absolute standalone. You can watch 28 Weeks and
never
not see 28 Days.
Not miss a damn thing.
The only thing is the infected are supposed to be about the same. The infected in this do not feel like the infected in the first one. They just feel like raging, running lunatics.
Right.
And my biggest beef with not just this, but any zombie movie, like I hate inconsistent zombies. Like there was a stupid little indie zombie movie a few years ago where there's a scene where a zombie like punches through somebody's chest. But then in the next scene, like some high school girl is like pushing it out a window. Like if it's got super strength to punch through a chest, the girl's not going to push it through the window. So I don't like inconsistencies with zombies or, in this case, infected.
Sure.
This movie is full of them. Mostly Robert Carlyle. All the infected.
It's like the proto.
Yes. In the first one, the infected just go and they're ravaging. Robert Carlyle, when he's attacking, has purpose. Especially attacking his wife. I feel like it was wasted. Like, Jim shoving his thumbs into the eyeballs of the soldier.
Real thick soldier, yeah.
Meant something.
Right.
That was amazing to see. We're 40 minutes in, and you have Robert Carlyle doing the same thing to his bride, and, like, it doesn't mean anything to me now. Like, this means nothing to me.
No, for me, it's just, like, a nod to the first movie, like...
An unnecessary one.
Yeah, but it does more to like reinforce the first one than it does the because you're like, oh, this is absolutely something an infected would do. So you could see why Celine would think that Jim was infected in the first one. It makes the first movie better by doing that. It does nothing for the second.
And I feel like it's too brutal. His attacks on his wife seemed more calculated than what we'd seen from the infected before.
I mean, I'll definitely give you the calculation
and then
how he gets out of there.
Yeah, I don't know how he gets out of there.
He's got to use his card, you would think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how he gets out of there. Like, that's just, it just cuts to him in the streets. Like, how does he get out of there? And then when Rose Byrne, he grabs the gun and he's beating her with the gun. We've never seen them pick something up and beat something with. It was calculated. Like, he targeted her. Not to mention, he's stalking them. I hate inconsistent zombies. I hate convenient zombies or infected.
This
and you
both.
Have that. Oh, no, I encounter an infected in the subway. Happens to be my dad. Oh, no, later, I encounter an infected in the subway. Happens to be my dad. Out of all these hundreds of people that are becoming infected.
Thousands.
Oh, my dad, twice.
No.
Oh, there's one infected left down here. Oh, it's my dad. Ruined it for me. Ruined it. I don't need that.
It really didn't serve any, I don't think, any narrative purpose to have Imogen Poots have to kill him because that transformed her character somehow. It didn't need to bite Mugglesworth or whatever. Like, you didn't need that because that could have been any infected. But I guess if you were going to encounter one infected in the subway, I wouldn't have been so pissed had I not seen anything from Robert Carlyle up until that point. If I didn't see him stalking them, if it was just like, oh, all right, for whatever reason, he happened to be down
and
there.
And if it didn't seem like he recognized him and knew what he was doing.
Right, yeah.
That's what bothered
me. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
But, I mean, there was some cool stuff. Helicopter scene. I'll keep going back
That's
to it.
That's a lot of fun.
Very cool. Rose Byrne with the night vision guiding Poots and Muggleston.
Yeah. It's like the end of Wreck.
Very cool scene with the night vision and her kind of guiding them. Very, very cool. there was some camera stuff that I didn't like, mostly at the beginning, cutting to like the surveillance cameras. Did not understand the point of that. They almost felt like George Lucas cutscenes.
Yeah, it seems a very weird transition.
Like they felt like the added in cutscenes that made no sense. Some of the running scenes I was okay with. This is a movie that it's when you order a double cheeseburger with extra bacon and you get a really good cheeseburger, but they forget the bacon. You still get a good cheeseburger.
Are you getting a double cheeseburger at least?
No, they gave you a single. So you still get a really good single cheeseburger, but you wanted so much more. And the meat and the bacon is just sitting off to the side. They easily could have put it on there, and they didn't. So you're just left with this. It's like, all right, it satisfied me for now, but 28 days from now, I'm not going to be thinking like, man, that was a good burger. Whereas 28 days later, I still dream about that burger. That's the best burger I've ever had. 28 weeks later, it took a couple years to watch it because I was anti this movie. I watched it. I think I was predetermined to hate it, so I've hated it for a long time. I rewatched it. I like it enough for what it is, but 2 weeks from now, I'll forget I watched it.
Not to be revisionist or like an armchair director, but I think it could be fixed very easily. As much as I love the beginning, just cut that out. If we just start with Robert Carlyle welcoming his kids back, we know that there was an infection from the first one. It won't make it work as a standalone, but we know there's an infection from the first one. We know that the infected starve. So you could reason that the government would come in and set up their little camp, and we could just start there, develop his character, show in flashback him leaving the mom or whatever, if you need him to be a dick. But
I'm glad you brought that point up, because that's another gripe I had. When I say this is an American movie, it is, because Americans are stupid. I no offense to any Americans. We are idiots. We are very, very stupid. We watched the first 10 minutes of the movie, right? We watched him in this cottage. We watched him leave his wife.
Him say, I'm sure glad we sent our kids on that school trip.
So 30 minutes later, when he's reunited with his kids, and he's telling them the story, do we need the flashbacks cut in from 30 minutes ago? So what you're saying, cut that 10 minutes out. If you're giving me the flashbacks, tell the story that way. Don't tell it to me both ways. It's almost like they were deciding, do we show the 10 minutes at the beginning, or do we just show flashbacks? Leave them both in.
Yeah,
People
are stupid, and I think it's just that's 10 minutes that could have been used to develop characters that you're going to get more mileage out of than the ones that died in the first 10 minutes. It just seemed like they had to have their zombie deaths at the beginning. They had to do their Jurassic Park tease.
That they took their time getting to, which defeats the purpose of a Jurassic Park tease.
It was still early on in the movie.
But in that, I do want to go back to that, because that kind of goes back to one of your gripes with 28 Days Later, whereas they get out of the tunnel and the infected just kind of stop. You don't get that in this one. When they're running through the water, like they're not stopping. They're going after Robert Carlyle in this boat. And they don't stop, but there's still inconsistencies throughout. You were built up this good mythology of the infected. It doesn't really ever focus on their movements. Like, you don't see the jerky movement. The whole cure storyline seemed just crammed in there.
Convoluted.
Yeah.
And ultimately worthless, because they never did anything with it.
No. And
it was just, to me, that's just a way to, okay, you can put the kid on the helicopter and the infection can spread because he won't exhibit signs, but we still think that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, the only justification for the black guy not to just cap them both.
Renner and Rose Byrne, you still never really get their motivations. Like hers, yeah, she thinks he's the cure, but that's so crammed in there. His,
I think he just wants to get the hell out of there with the kids.
I do give the movie credit for not trying to force
Rose Byrne and
a romance there. And I do, Jeremy Renner's death scene
was good.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
That one mattered.
That one mattered, and that one was awesome. And that's a good moment. The getting out of the car, I'll meet you there. Yep. Like, he knows what's going to happen.
And
like,
so does she.
And so does she, but it's, that line is so, that's the, you can keep it from the first one. Like, it's such a sweet, well-written line that taste is there, but there needed to be more. And just that whole scene was...
And 10 more minutes of them, 5 more minutes developing Renner, knowing that he's got kids back in the States, and that's what he sees in these two.
You build up Perrineau's character is like the family guy.
Right.
And then you do nothing with them, right, except chop up some... They spent more time building up characters that they don't use than...
That was my gripe. As much as I liked the first 10 minutes, get rid of that and just focus on people that are actually in your movie.
I think...
And more Rose Byrne is never a bad thing.
No. And I always thought, like, I think a better sequel that would be more compelling to me would be 28 Days Earlier. In the first one, when Mark's talking about being in the airport and climbing up, just you're not on the floor, you're just on a sea of people. That I want to see. You get a taste of it in the subway and in the streets, but, like, I always thought that that story would be very cool to see. I guess Garland might have an idea for 28 months later. If Garland's back, I'm on board. If Garland and Boyle are back, 100% on board. But we'll see. I'm okay with the ending there. This didn't make as much money. No. For a cash grab sequel to make...
Less money. Not grab as much cash.
About half as much.
I was 20 million off. So
yeah.
25%.
And I mean, that's... It's an American movie. And you strip down everything that made the first one so great. And just
stripped out most of it. It left
the skeleton
a
was there,
yeah.
But you didn't put the flesh on it.
It's the infected at the end of 28 Days Later. They're all like skin and bones.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
But yeah, ultimately, I feel like it was a cash grab sequel that I feel like they left a lot on the table. And then what we didn't even talk about, the score.
Yeah. Still good.
It's still good, but overused. They used the same piece. The music that's played over the climax of 28 Days Later that fits perfectly, that's amazingly used, that culminates with him shoving his thumb through the ice, that's used 3 times in this movie.
Yeah.
I get it.
I mean, it's...
Like, I get it. I understand. But come on.
It was funny the way I watched these. I watched the first one with Sarah like a week or so ago, and then we watched this one last night, and she was like, is that the same song? I was like, yeah, it is. She's like, yeah, that's a good song. And I was like... You think it is now, yeah. You just wait till you hear it,
two times.
The rest of the movie. You know, when it comes back, it's a nice throwback or callback to the original, and I think it works kind of well, and it still builds. It does everything great the way it did in the first one. It just sort of, it's like telling the same joke 3 times.
Yeah, it's...
Loses its effect.
It loses its effect, and in the first one, the music was used so well, like different moods were done with different music. This just goes back to that well all the time, so... Yeah, I had my problems with it. I don't hate the movie, but I definitely don't love it. I think it's forgettable. For all this time, I've remembered the helicopter scene.
Yeah.
That, I think, is cool. If it didn't look like it was a sci-fi, like, the effects are really bad. Like, when it comes to, like, digital effects in this movie, they're really bad. The helicopter scene looks really, really bad. I mean, it's cool, but it doesn't look good. But, yeah, so I didn't really... dig it. I'll forget about it eventually until...
Except for the helicopter scene.
Yeah, until I think about 28 Days Later and how good it is. But that was 28 Weeks Later. Hopefully you listen to this and the 28 Days Later episode. I feel like we had a different mood in both of them. Keep listening to Halloween. Next week we're doing 2 movies. I think next week is that Kronos and The Orphanage?
Yeah, not that Danny Boyle directed both of these, but we talked a little Boyle. And Del Toro is another director that's maybe not on quite that level, but he's pretty close.
Crimson Peak comes out next week, so we're going to talk Kronos.
Yeah, so we'll do Kronos and The Orphanage.
He just produced The Orphanage, but it's a cool little horror movie. So tune in next week for that. Hope you enjoy our Octobers as much as we do. Hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, Twitter @moviesonup. Let us know if we're wrong on 28 Weeks Later, if it's this great piece of art that... If you hold it in that same regard that I hold 28 Days Later, let me know.
If you're Juan Carlos Fresnadillo's
family.
Fresnadillo.
Yeah. Just let us know what you thought of it, what you didn't like about either of the movies. If you watch Kronos, let us know. Or Orphanage, we won't be able to. We recorded them like a month in the past. But let us know your
thoughts.
We'd
still like to hear your thoughts on
that. Yeah. And, but yeah, until then.
Keep it up.